Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about them.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all.
Y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airwaves of SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. Got a lot of stuff to get into today. Some basketball, some big-time college basketball games are coming up this weekend that I have to watch. I'm going to tell you what game is foremost on my mind. That's one thing. Unfortunately, I have to touch on my New York Knicks in just a few minutes, who I'm so disgusted with. I swear, if I wasn't a grown man and I was some belligerent little irresponsible kid, I might throw a brick at the Garden. I'm so disgusted with them. But then again, throwing bricks wouldn't be that harmless. It's nothing compared to the bricks the New York Knicks laid last night against the Detroit Pistons. Don't get me started with that. But I'm going to start off on a more positive note. I'm going to get into the WNBA, to the NBA rather, and their plans to enact anti-tanking rules as well. And I'll touch on, I'll also touch on the WNBA and their negotiations. So all of that will be coming up as the show progresses right here on the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. But before I get into any of that, let me say I got to take a moment to pay homage to Ole Miss. I visited Oxford, Mississippi last night. Yes, Stephen A. Smith was in Oxford, Mississippi. I went there with my team and my daughter. At the last minute, she sits up there and says she's coming. You understand? And came up here and just took over. Okay, so that happened. And I went there and I got to admit to you, I was touched. I really, really was. First of all, the coach is just phenomenal. Coach McEwen, she's special. She really, really is. She is something special. I got to give credit where credit is due. The hospitality was first class. The people could not have been nicer. Everybody was great. First class all the way. And there were people that were anxious to really, really show that Oxford, Mississippi is not what it used to be, okay? It all started because weeks ago when Lane Kiffin decided to take his talents as a coach from Ole Miss to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, LSU, I said there was nothing wrong with that because if you black and you're not raised in Mississippi, you may not know any better. So your attitude is you hear the word Mississippi is going to give you cause to pause. That's what I said. And naturally, you had a lot of people that, you know, were taken aback by that. I have a dear friend of mine that lives in Memphis, Tennessee, that, you know, is married. Her husband went to Ole Miss and, you know, she raves about Ole Miss and how great that university is. You know, a lot of people there talking about the student population and how big it is. And they're also talking about, you know, the populist period in the city of Oxford and how, you know, there's so many blacks, you know, hovering around 40%. And they're talking about how even the elected officials make up about 30 to 40%. They were telling all of this stuff. And they were trying to make sure to give me a history lesson. And damn it, I appreciated it. Because if you're going to mention the city, going to talk about it, you owe it to them to listen to them. When they want to talk to you. And most importantly, I said I was going to show up. So I had to show up. And I got to tell you, I loved it. Meeting Trinidad Chambliss, the star quarterback for Ole Miss, that brother's something special. No doubt about it. I was throwing some passes with him, too. They told him to throw it harder one time. He hit me with a spiral right in my chest, caved my damn chest in. I thought I was going to have a heart attack. I mean, he was doing all of that. But I was doing my thing. I was catching those passes. I was throwing them too, flinging the football a little bit. Even my nephew was proud. My nephew Josh was even proud of me because you know he's looking to troll me every chance he gets because that's what that's what these kids, these young whippersnappers who are Benedict Arnolds try to betray you every time you raise them, you take care of them, you do all of this other stuff. And the second they get a chance to troll you, that's what they would do. I know Josh was looking to troll me, but even he couldn't say anything about, you know, the kind of skills that I put on display last night. He kind of slept on his old uncle. But that's a different subject for another day. In the end, I just wanted to say that the only disappointment was that Ole Miss lost the game. They were up 67-59 when I had to leave to go catch my flight out of town. And the next thing I know is LSU goes on a 19-3 run, and they close out the game. And Flauje Johnson, she's something special. She looked at me when she called, scored an and-one early in the fourth quarter. She's like, this ain't their night. This ain't their night. It ain't happening, Stephen A. She let me know. But it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. I can't thank the people in Oxford. I can't thank the administration at Ole Miss, the head coach. She's absolutely wonderful. I'm a huge fan of hers. They got a star on their squad named Cody McMahon. She is special. She can ball. So it was really, really nice to see it. And I appreciate the First Class hospitality, along with the Omegas, Omega Psi Phi fraternity. The brothers showed up, gave support and love to their big bro, which is yours truly. They looked out for me. It was really, really great being around them at all. And I promised them I'm coming back. And the date is September 19th when Lane Kiffin and LSU come to town. Lane Kiffin returns, and I will be there. Make no mistake about it. So I just wanted to let everybody know that. Thanks again to Ole Miss for showing me some love. I really, really appreciate it. They showed me major, major, major love. I had an absolute blast with them, and I just want to thank them from the bottom of my heart. It was a really wonderful experience, one of the best experiences I've ever had on a road trip visiting a campus, to be quite honest with you. It was really, really fabulous, and their coach is something special. She's a special lady. She really, really is, and she loves that university and loves that town and speaks very, very highly of it. She is the one, make no mistake. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. Now let me get into the bad part of the show. And that involves the New York Knicks and what we saw last night. Got Jamal Crawford coming on at the top of hour number two. Talk about the NBA overall. But I'm going to bring in my nephew here right now. Grab a seat. You mic'd around. Just go ahead. Do what you got to do. Grab a seat, man. You know, I really, really, you know, I almost could blame my nephew because I told him to watch the damn game for me. I knew I was going to watch it when I got home from Ole Miss. But I figured he'd be a good luck charm because he's all about the Knicks and all about what they do and how they do it, et cetera, et cetera. And I saw the Knicks get their ass kicked because I came home, I DVR'd it, I watched the game from start to finish, and I saw Cade Cunningham, and I couldn't tell whether it was LeBron, it was Kobe, God rest his soul, whether it was Steph Curry when he dropped 54 at the Garden, whether it was Michael Jordan when he dropped the double nickel at the Garden. Cade Cunningham was doing what he wanted, when he wanted, how he wanted, busting their living ass. And I'm just here to say, I'm only speaking for me. I've given up on the New York Knicks for this season. I'm done. The New York Knicks, I'm here to announce, they ain't going to the finals unless they get to avoid the Detroit Pistons. Because if they have to go to Detroit to go through Detroit to get to the finals, they're going home. The superior team is the Detroit Pistons. You beat them by 84 points in the three meetings that you met them this year. You beat their ass by 31 in the first meeting. You were up by 40 in the second meeting before you settled for a 36-37 point win. And then last night, without really a front line, with Jalen Duren out, with Isaiah Stewart out due to their suspensions, with Paul Reed, a journeyman big man in the lineup, dropping 18 points on them with 7 of 9 shots hit from the field. The Detroit Pistons beat the New York Knicks 126-111. Cade Cunningham, 42 points and 13 assists, busting their living ass, talking smack to them, beating them like they stole something, disrespecting them in their own house, treating the Garden like it was a practice facility. It was embarrassing. And I'm so disgusted with the Knicks right now because everybody loses. But to get your ass kicked really, really, really rakes my nerves. So I'm going to give the Knicks one last chance at a reprieve by bringing in my little nephew Josh, because he's my man. I love him. You know, he does know his basketball. I give him that, you know. Everything else, I got to be careful with him, you know what I'm saying? I got to protect him from himself. But he knows his basketball. Josh, welcome to the show.
Yeah.
What happened to the Knicks last night, Josh? What happened to them?
I think they're listening to you and Kendrick Perkins give all of this credit to Detroit. And then Detroit comes in with this confidence because they hear these fake Knicks fans praising their praises.
Don't say fake Knicks fan. You know, I was a Knicks fan before you were born. Don't do that. Don't do that.
I've been hearing you talk is Detroit. I be texting you every time.
That's cool, but that don't make me a fake Knicks fan. You haven't suffered as much as I suffered. You wet behind the ears. You were born in the 80s. The New York Knicks were title contenders in the 90s. They went to the finals in 94. They went to the finals in 1999. So my point is that you grew up with them when they were respectable. You have not suffered. You can sit up there and disagree with me, but what you're not going to do is try to imply that I'm a fake Knicks fan when I taught you how to be a Knicks fan. Right? You keep forgetting I'm your uncle. You understand what I'm saying? I raised you, and you became a Knicks fan because of my love for the Knicks. So don't go there. Just own what they're looking like right now.
Yeah, but when the cameras is on, though, you just always pick everybody else. You did it last year, too.
What did I do last year? I didn't pick Indiana last year.
Last year, you went with Boston.
I did, and then they won game one. I almost called a heart attack because I couldn't believe they won game one. Once they won game one, I was like, oh, they can take them.
Said we can take them. But then after game two, we lost game three, and you was like, you gave the Celtics a fighting chance again. I did give them a fighting chance because of the New York guards. Like, I think everybody's panicking. We're in the same position we was last year. Mm-hmm. We're in the third seed, and we could beat anybody in their home. I think Mike Brown is trying to figure out what else he has, because 1 through 5, we know our lineup. Mm-hmm. He's playing the Diawaras. He's playing the guy we just got from the Spurs, Sokan. Yep. So he's trying to figure out what else we have, and you're playing in the middle of the season trying to, you know, play with the lineup.
All right, Josh, how about this? They got their ass kicked 3 times. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on now. They got their ass kicked 3 times, okay? So what I'm asking is, do you not see a Detroit Pistons team that's a bit different? Boston's the reigning defending champions at the time. Yeah, you know, they feeling themselves. Yeah, we got this. No problem. And the Knicks took it to them. Mm-hmm. Fine. In the case of the Detroit Pistons, they felt they shouldn't have lost that series. They've been talking smack about the Knicks since all offseason. They've been telling you they're coming for you, and then they promptly kicked your ass on the 3 occasions that they've gone against you with and without their personnel. And the New York Knicks had all their starters last night. So we all know that Cade Cunningham is a superstar. He's a top 2 league MVP candidate. Wouldn't you concede that?
I think he's leading the league.
Yeah, leading the league, right. MVP, right? So my point is, how are you going to ignore that? Because they're not just any team. They're a team that wants the Knicks. Just going to ignore that?
Yeah, I mean.
Why not? Why are you going to ignore that?
Because last year, the Cleveland was in first place. This year is Detroit. The Knicks is built for the playoffs. We got our wings, and we're built to stop other teams' best perimeter plays. So if they relying on Cade so heavily, mm-hmm, I think that works in the Knicks' favor.
All right,
in the
so
playoffs.
Educate me about this. If you truly, truly feel that way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this question. How you going to beat Detroit? Tell me that. They shoot well from three against you. They shoot well from the field against you. You can't seem to hit baskets when you going up against them. They're bigger. They defend. They're rough riders. They ain't scared. They come at you. How you going to deal with that?
If you neutralize Cade, if you box and one him, who else they got to create?
That's true. I understand that. But you think the Knicks haven't tried that already? How that work out for them?
I don't think they have. Because I don't think I'm watching the game, and I'm seeing him go one-on-one and just killing every defender that we throw at him.
Every single defender that's thrown at you.
So you got to send two. You got to make any one of the twins, Thompson, make him beat you. We had 4.5 points last night.
Does Carl Anthony Towns look good under Mike Brown compared to how he looked with Tom Thibodeau? You know the answer to the question. What's the hesitancy for? What is the hesitancy for?
Because I feel like he looked the same. He's just playing less minutes. You know what Tom Thibodeau used to do?
He don't look the same. he doesn't look the same at all. He's not shooting as effectively. He doesn't appear to be nearly as efficient. And by the way, he appears to be a bit rattled compared to what he normally is. I don't like what I'm seeing from Carl Anthony Towns.
I mean, his first, you also got to compare his first season. He wasn't hearing every week that he was going to be traded for Giannis, too. That's partly my fault, because I'd be right on Instagram calling for him to be gone every time he has a subpar game, because I know that Giannis was an option. Now that he's not and that pressure is off, I feel like he'll be better in the second half of the season.
So you're sitting here, and rather than holding Carl Anthony Towns accountable, you're holding yourself accountable because you was calling for him to be traded?
All of us, yes. All we was talking about was Giannis, and look at where Giannis
because
is.
Because it's Giannis.
It is Giannis.
It is Giannis.
It is Giannis.
It is Giannis, all right? Yeah, yeah. So I'm looking at it from that standpoint, and then I'm also looking at this. You know what? When are we going to blame Jalen Brunson? Jalen Brunson. Hold on. Wait a minute now. Jalen Brunson is a stud. He's a star. If he ever wins a championship, he'll be the greatest Knick ever. No doubt about it. He's one of the top three Knicks right now, as far as I'm concerned, in history, when you really, really look at it. But my point to you, Josh, is this. Jalen Brunson is the one that okayed Leon Rose giving up five picks for his boy. You know good and well that Jalen Brunson's got his fingerprints written all over that. He could have waited a year, signed for buku dollars, about $140 million extra. He didn't do that, okay? Gave the Knicks a discount so they could go out there and get his boy. You don't let the New York Knicks give up five first-round picks for Mikal Bridges. That is the one thing where Jalen Brunson, and let me tell you, I've been invited on this podcast with him and Josh Hart.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I can't wait till I get over there.
Because
let me tell you something right now. When I see him, I'm going to tell him that to his face. You can't. I like Mikal Bridges. He's worth $150 million. Yeah. He's not worth five first-round picks.
Is he worth the first-round picks?
Five.
Is he worth those if we get past Indiana last year and he stops shit SGA the way he was stopping Jason Tatum at the end of games?
I don't think you can sit there and say under any circumstances Mikal Bridges is worth five first-round picks when the Lakers only got one for Luka Doncic and Houston and Phoenix only got one for Kevin Durant, okay? Orlando gave up a boatload for Desmond Bain, which was a lot, and it still wasn't five first-round picks.
I'm saying the first-round picks versus us never going to the Eastern Conference Finals and then him kind of leading that way defensively last year against the Celtics. I say even swap to me. I'm not mad about the picks no more. I need Mikal Bridges to do that one more time. We need one more playoff run with him stopping stars.
Why are you saying one more play up front?
Because you know this is the year. If it's not this year, I heard what you said. Right. I agree with you. If this
is not the year. What? Say it. Say it.
If this ain't the year, we got to blow it up. We got to blow it up if this ain't the year.
I'm proud that you've come to that conclusion. Get out of here, man. Get out of here. You learn to listen. I'm going to do that with you now. Great job. Great job. That's nephew Josh in the house talking about his New York Knicks. I know he know what he talking about. So I ain't mad at him at all. He was actually reasonable. And Josh wasn't stubborn. You know how he usually gets stubborn and will just disagree with me to disagree with me. He was actually, he got it. He understands the suffering. New York Knicks right now, ladies and gentlemen, they ain't going to the finals. If the New York Knicks see Detroit in the vicinity, they're going to fold. That's how I feel about what I'm seeing from the New York Knicks right now. You got Fat Joe, Tracy Morgan, Spike Lee at the Garden looking depressed. I mean, come on, man. It was just bad. It was just bad. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. A lot of stuff to get into. NBA plans to enact an anti-tanking rule, of course. WNBA, their negotiations. Of course, the New York Knicks, what I just finished bringing up, and a balance of power and how it's shifting, particularly within the Eastern Conference. The New York Knicks can end up falling to the fourth seed, which means they'd face the Detroit Pistons in the second round, which means that in all likelihood, they'd go home. Before I go to break, I want y'all to hear a couple of sound bites from the Detroit Pistons in the aftermath of winning last night's game, 3-0 against the New York Knicks this year. J.B. Pickerstaff, the coach of the Detroit Pistons, speaking about Cade Cunningham being the superstar that he is. Listen up.
He's a superstar, and there's no doubt about it. It's hard for me to think of five guys in this league that do more on both ends, that does more on both ends than he does. Again, like I said, he guards the other team's best perimeter player on any given night. Offensively, the ball is in his hands. His usage rate, is through the roof. And, you know, he never says no. He never complains. You know, and he goes out and gets the job done. And it's impacted winning. And I think that's what superstars do, right? Superstars aren't hollow numbers. Superstars are people that impact winning at a level that he has. And, you know, again, that's why we're fortunate to have him. You know, and the thing that I'm most impressed with is, like, how consistent he is as a human through it all and how consistent he is as a teammate through it all. Like, he just does the right thing by his teammates over and over again to help them excel and succeed also. And, you know, so if you got a superstar player with talent, superstar character, you know what I mean? Like, he's the guy that goes down in the Hall of Fame someday. And Cade is playing at that level.
Yes, he is. Coach Bickerstaff is absolutely right. But he didn't stop there. He started talking about MVP. Listen to Coach Bickerstaff.
If the season ended today, he's the MVP. And I don't think it's even a question. The most valuable player is the guy who impacts winning at the highest level. And right now, with us having the record that we have, you know, and Cade being the player that he's been and the impact that he's had on both ends of the floor, it's hard for me to justify anybody else. You know what I mean? And that's not a knock to the great players that we have in our game. But Cade's done it at a high level. And like I said, the transformation starting last year to where we are now, a lot of that has fallen on his shoulders. And he's lifted the group up while at the same time helping his teammates become better. So I think to me, it's a no-brainer. He'd be the guy for me.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.B. Bickerstaff is absolutely right. If the season were to end today, and I have a vote, Cade Cunningham would be my league MVP. Yes, he would. Jaylen Brown be right up there. It's a close call. But Cade Cunningham would be the league MVP. Yes, he would. Let's hear from Cade Cunningham himself on this statement went from the New York Knicks last night. Listen up.
I thought it was a good game for us. I think we all made a statement. You know, we're coming to win every night. We want to impose ourselves and our identity every night, starting on defense and transitioning that to offense, scoring in the paint, defending the paint. You know, that's the statement we want to make every night, and tonight was a big night for us.
Brother special. Brother special. Quiet off the court. Game is very, very loud on the court. He's got it. He's just got it. Cade Cunningham. I mean, I've been vacillating back and forth with him and Jaylen Brown and all of this stuff. Shai Gilgeous being out the weeks that he's been out. Jokic, even though he's averaging a triple-double, and he's been sensational in his own right. But Cade Cunningham, and considering the success of the Detroit Pistons, I don't think there's any question right now. I've been going back and forth with this in my head for a long time now, last several weeks to be exact. Cade Cunningham right now, him and Jaylen Brown. Top two candidates, and I'd have to say right now, watching Cade Cunningham do what he does, league MVP. League MVP. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call. It's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to Stephen A. Sirius XM Mad Dog Sports Radio.